hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
The reason why I bring that one up is that a young man got knocked out last week, and of course, he's Socrates Palmer's guys who want to bring it up right away. Joshua Vargas, I'm telling you, if he shaves off the beard, nobody will ever know it was him. Seriously, he's got to shave off that beard. What was he trying to look like, Muslim, or what was that beard thing?
I don't know, man. These kids, that's the style. It's like Adrian Broner, a bunch of guys rocking beards. It's like that. I think the rapper made it popular, Rick Ross. You know, that big beard, very popular in Philly. I don't know. To me, it gives someone a good target, right?
Okay. Jose Cepeda, I guess he didn't become 34 or 36 and 2 for nothing, huh?
No, man. I was very high in Cepeda, you know. Even, you know, before this fight, I really believe he's, you know, in the handful, maybe third best 140 pounders, Josh Taylor, Ramirez, Regis Prograis. He's in that mix, you know. I know he's not the prettiest of fighters. He's not slick, but the guy brings it. And you look at his resume, he's been in there with some top guys so far. I mean, Pedraza, Ramirez, he could punch, and he's never in a boring fight. You know, that's one thing. He's good for TV, and hopefully a title shot is in his future for 2022. He deserves it.
Jaron Ennis, your boy from Philly, another guy from Philly. Were you pleased with his performance?
You know what? He did something that hadn't been done. He annihilated Delorme. Delorme's pretty limited but durable.
Durable, exactly.
You know, he's certainly not, you know, in the best of shapes in terms of his career. He's certainly on the other end, on the back nine, so to speak. But nevertheless, a world-class fighter, and you know, he was taken care of. Jaron Ennis is slowly but surely getting in that conversation of, okay, is he the most avoided? I don't know. We don't know yet. You know, he hasn't really beat a full-fledged welterweight. But the kid could crack, and he comes from good stock. You know, a fighting family. I always put merit into that. And he's from Philly, so he carries that pride of being a Philadelphia fighter.
Okay, so we are just hours away, of course, from the so-called fight of the year, an undefeated challenger, a WBA title holder. I'm talking about Caleb Plant, of course, an American. Good record, but when you look at the guys he's fought, none of them are going to be in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Then again, you've got the guy on the flip side. I'm talking about the A side of the record. Canelo Alvarez, once beaten, lost to Floyd Mayweather back in the days when he was greener than guacamole, but straight up, he's come a long way. He's at a point in time where he's like a 3-1 favorite according to the Las Vegas sportsbooks. Some other sportsbooks have him larger than that. Now, Socrates, if you were to throw some money down on this one, where would it go and why?
You know, it's like people that invest in Tesla and people that invest in Microsoft. I mean, it's, you know, or for any Fortune 500 company, you know, it's really hard to beat the market. And the same thing when it comes to boxing. I mean, upsets are very rare, you know. You get an even fight and then you say to yourself, was it really an upset? But this would be a monster upset. I can't see how anybody really looking at it objectively could pick Caleb Plant. I just don't see anything that Caleb Plant brings that Canelo Alvarez can't handle. You know, I mean, Alvarez has steadily improved. You know, his body's still fresh. He's never been in a real war. I mean, the fights with Golovkin were competitive, but, you know, no one was cut open. You know, no one was dropped. It wasn't Gaddy Ward. You know, he's still fresh after and remarkable. This is he's going after his 60th win. You know, I know Plant does some things, you know, that may keep him in the fight early on, But unless he's able to establish respect in the first two or three rounds, Canelo's going to walk him down and bust him up the way he's done to the other big fighters that he's fought the last couple of years. You know, Kovalev, Fielding, Callum Smith. I just don't see Caleb Plant being a great fighter. You know, he's a good fighter. But to beat Canelo, you got to be great. And I just don't see greatness in Caleb Plant.
And he's got to hurt him, right? I mean, he's got to go out there and make a statement right away.
Absolutely. He's got to get his respect. I mean, he was talking a lot of tough stuff in the press conference. You know, the guys came to, you know, they had some love taps that led to a little scratch under his eye. You know, let's see if the best of Caleb Plant was not in the press conference, okay. You know? Let's see if he brings something into the ring.
Let me run this one at you. Victor Conti's involved. And Victor Conti, of course, the guy that rigged the 2000 Olympics with Marion Jones, and I've had some dealings with him. I work with him. I've taken his products. I think his products are through the roof, man. I mean, ZMA and that kind of... I mean, Victor's got some good products going on, but Victor's got this little shadow behind him because he rigged the 2000 Olympics and he was a convicted felon. He went to jail for rigging the Olympics, and Marion Jones had her gold medals taken away and things like that. Is he in the right place? Is boxing the right place for him? I mean, is it like the red light district of sports? Is that the right place for Victor Conti?
Hey, even up until his death, you know, worse people than him were involved in boxing. Panama Lewis, you know. I guess so. Everyone deserves a second chance. I mean, Victor will have that scarlet letter the rest of his life. You know, he also had Barry Bonds, Shane Mosley. You know, he's had some pretty famous juicers, you know, that have tried his products.
Well, Shane Mosley, I've seen taped depositions of Victor Conti versus Shane Mosley, and Shane Mosley said, yeah, I asked Victor for steroids and this and that, and yeah, he gave me steroids and this and that. I mean, whoa. It's like, whoa, not too many people knew that, but yeah, Mosley admitted that. Of course, he was prepping for the second Oscar De La Hoya fight at 154 pounds, so I guess he had to put on some weight. But, you know, his products, I will say this, man, his products are through the roof, and Victor, of course, has been... He's controversial. You know what? You know what I think Victor's really great thing was in life? It wasn't doing anything to his sports. He was a Tower of Power bass player at one point in time. He played bass for the Tower of Power, and he took over for Rocco Presti. He was probably one of the greatest bass players, according to Rolling Stone magazine, in the history of the music. But he took over for Rocco for a couple of years, and Victor was a bad dude on the bass, man.
I know that he dabbled in music. I know that he was part of the band. I would be lying if I said I knew his catalog.
I'm not saying he has a catalog. I'm saying the two albums he did with Tower of Power, there was some good bass work on that, and he had to follow a legend. I mean, it's sort of like it's hard to explain Rocco Presti to anybody that doesn't know. Anyway, bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, tonight, November 6, 2021, live on pay-per-view. Come and do us from the Las Vegas T-Mobile Arena, of course. Canelo Alvarez, the once-beaten Mexican superstar. Of course, that one loss to Floyd Mayweather back a long, long time ago. He takes on Caleb Plant, an undefeated lad, of course, coming to us from from this side of the pond. Usually Canelo's fighting guys from the other side of the pond. Now this time he's fighting an American. When you look at the end of the day, Caleb Plant talks a good game. This is good it's good for the pay-per-view and this and that. I mean, because if he didn't say nothing, there would just be another Canelo walk in the park, wouldn't it?
I mean, and I still think people see this as just Caleb Plant being a footnote. He got under Canelo's skin. He brought up the steroid allegations. He basically said that the reason this fight took so long was Canelo being a diva, and Canelo had enough, you know, and they came to, you know, they got into a little scrap a few months back, which did great for the promotion.
But if you're going to be calling somebody out on steroids and you're hanging with Victor Conti, you know, I mean, it's sort of funny.
Yeah.
Just sort of funny there.
That is the pot calling the kettle black, yes. And then yesterday how he looked at the weigh-in, you know, he's got wings that it looks like, you know, his lats look like he's ready for, you know, Mr. Olympia, you know. But boxing is a lot more than muscle, brother. You know that, true. You know, more than I do. And the biggest muscle KO Plant's going to have to utilize, it's what's, you know, behind his ribs, you know, his heart, his, you know, what's in there, you know, does he want to be a footnote, or is he just, or does he have something in him to do something special, something that no one other than, you know, his loved ones, and I'm sure his management, Louis the Cubist, think that he can do, you know, it's put up or shut up.
You know, Louis, let's talk about Louis just for a second. Louis was he handled Durant. He brought the Durant comeback with Barkley and this kind of stuff. He was with Durant and Hagler and this, and him and Mike Hickory. That was Louis DeCuba Sr. Of course, his son now, Junior, is doing his thing. Both these guys are rock and rolling. They had the Cuban Ubi Urgas, of course, that he upset Manny Pacquiao about a month ago. So straight up, those guys are in a good spot. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide with Socrates Palmer. My name is Pedro Fernandez. After the break, we're going to the depth, of course, on, guess who? Robert Garcia losing, guess who? Virgil Ortiz. Virgil Ortiz, I think, is the heir apparent to greatness in boxing. More on Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Town, Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37, make that 38 plus years now. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Of course, I am the original podcast. We started doing the internet thing back in 1992. First show on the internet, of course, the first show to come you live from the People's Republic of China back in 1993. Of course, we did the Brawl at the Wall that was on TV, but straight up, this show's been around. If you're new to the mix, I welcome you to the show. If you've been here a while, you know what time it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Take it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Lots of stuff to talk about. Teofimo Lopez, the world lightweight champion in the news. Of course, Socrates Palmer on the line from the Bronx. Why is Teofimo just talking and not fighting?
Well, he's got a new date. You know, finally, fingers crossed, November 27th against George Kambosos. And, you know, Teofimo's never been shy. You know, he's never been shy in front of a microphone. And that's how he got the Lomachenko fight. Pretty much during a time when people thought that he was biting off a little bit more than he could chew. You know, he was calling him out for, you know, I would say about 2 years before the fight was actually made. So Teofimo is not shy. He's not shy. And, you know, the Kambosos fight coming up, it's no secret. It had trouble selling tickets. And I don't think him and Top Rank, although they re-upped, you know, I don't think they're at the, you know, their relationship is what it once was. So, you know, he's out there selling his fight. You know,
you do realize that this fight, George Kambosos and Teofimo Lopez, will end up in the Guinness Book of World Records if they have a category for fights postponed the most times.
You know,
six times,
amazing.
Six.
Okay. Six times.
Yeah, so anyway, they're going to rock and roll. Lopez is supposed to roll through him. Lopez was talking about 140 pounds. If Lopez was the real deal at 140, wouldn't he be talking like cleaning up guys at 135, like Devin Haney was going to take on JoJo Diaz? Looks like that's going to go down in December.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a disappointment if he doesn't fight one of those other big names at lightweight. But then again... Huh?
Ryan Garcia. Well, you know, everybody's getting on me because I'm still a Ryan fan. You know, Ryan broke his hand. He got some wrist problems, this and that. Ryan's got some problems above the shoulders, between the ears. We all have problems above the shoulders and between the ears. And as far as anxiety is concerned, we hope the very best for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Ryan Garcia is a polarizing figure. You know, he's someone that's easy to root for if you're a teenager and you happen to be a female. He's also someone that's easy to dislike, you know, because of, you know, he loves attention. You know, he is what a lot of people wish they were. He's a good looking kid. He's tall. He's got money, you know.
Girls.
And he's got some fame. Yeah, yeah. So he's easy to hate on. You know, let's face it. You know, Devin Haney, you know, privately wishes he could trade places with Ryan Garcia. You know, despite, even though he thinks he's a better fighter. Let's just say that. If you know, I would probably give Devin Haney a little bit of an edge. I think he's a little bit more polished. But with all that said, he would trade places with Ryan Garcia in a heartbeat. You know, he's never going to be the attraction Ryan Garcia is. In or out of the ring.
One of boxing's insiders who was privy to the show told me that he thinks that Devin Haney's a gym fighter and that his father is obstructing his progress as far as boxing's concerned.
Hmm. Well, you know what? There could be some truth to it. But then again, I mean, he's still a young fighter. You know, he had a big step up, you know, against Jorge Linares, showed some flaws. You know, and survived.
But he's 34 years old. I mean, here
yeah.
comes up.
Well, he's still a lot better than all the other hobos he fought.
Okay. So what you're trying to tell me then? He is totally unproven.
Not totally, but he actually proved more surviving. You know, him get you know doing the stinky leg. In that fight against
Yuri Gamboa,
Linares, and he has in all his wins, okay. You know, because let's face it, he hasn't really fought anyone of merit, and you know the WBC, he's recognized as a champion, but I still think the you know the book is out. You know, he still has to do a little bit more in my estimation.
So Robert,
but he's got talent.
So Robert Garcia has been booted out of the Virgil Ortiz camp.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the second biggest news of the week outside of tonight's huge fight. Apparently, you know, the Ortizes took some, you know, they felt slighted. You know, the last time, you know, Ortiz was in the ring was against the Mean Machine in Texas, and Robert was not in the corner. You know, they sent his father. His father did the fight.
And I know it was long. Robert was doing another date somewhere else. They tried to do they tried to get. Listen, here's what's up. If Robert really wanted to get down, if Robert really wanted to be a pimp, per se, he would have had a private plane waiting for him and would have taken him from point A to point B. Because I know guys, I know, no, don't laugh. I know a couple of trainers that have done that, wrestlers especially. I know wrestlers that wrestled in one area of a state. Got in a private plane that they rented and went down and wrestled in the other part of the state. One guy's wrestled in Reno, and the same day went down to wrestle in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, if he had the means, you know, that would have been something. He had his other fighter, Joshua Franco, who fought the rematch against the Australian fighter, Maloney. He thought that was a much more – he thought that Franco needed him more than Ortiz because he was the underdog. But still – you have to. I mean, Robert, I've always liked him. Very personable guy. But you got to take care of the guy who's going to be the superstar.
No, that is. You know? That is. No, right. He is going to be the super. I mean, I really think he's knocking on the door. I think he's got all the tools. I think he's Mexican-American, which means he's going to be able to grab from both demographics. He's going to be able to go across the border and get people from across the border to watch him. I think he's going to become the biggest star since Canelo Alvarez if he continues on the path that he's on. I think he's got all of his fights are all knockout wins inside the distance, correct?
18 wins, 18 knockouts. People love the knockout. And it's funny that you mentioned that you see him as the next Canelo Alvarez because, lo and behold, everyone says he's training with Eddie Reynoso. You know, so now this would be the third high-profile trainer he's had. Mm-hmm. I mean, his dad does most of the work, you know. And you know, for most fight fans, the fighters that have these celebrity trainers, you know, high-profile guys like Freddie Roach, and the great Emmanuel Stewart, RIP, there is someone else that's working with these guys, you know, for weeks on end. And then the high-profile guys come in kind of like the last 2 weeks to kind of just work on strategy and touch things up. So I think this is the case with Ortiz. His father, who has brought him up from day one, has always been in his corner. His first trainer, he had Joel Diaz, who's a really good trainer in his own right, before he jumped to Robert. You know, so
Ray Arcel would come in the last couple of weeks. Freddie Brown would do the entire Roberto Duran camp. It was Freddie Brown that went down to Panama, not Ray Arcel. Now, one more thing. Spence and Virgil Ortiz, they're supposed to hook it up. Spence and Terrence Crawford really would have been the fight, but Terrence Crawford wouldn't want to, like, split the money. Is Terrence Crawford afraid deep down? He doesn't seem to be wanting to step across that line to greatness.
I don't think he's afraid. I think he's got a little bit of diva in him, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, if you have that right to be, you know. I mean, Terrence is, for the last couple of years, he's in that mix of the best pound-for-pound fighters, and he's got a real tough fight coming up against Sean Porter. That's the fight that everyone wants to see. You know, Spence and Crawford, they're both in their prime. Instead, it looks like Ortiz is going to be the one that challenges Spence, and Crawford and Spence is going to be maybe, unfortunately, in that what if, you know, legacy of fights that never happened.
Somebody just shot me a text real quick. If Louis DeCubas and his company pull off this upset tonight, wow. I mean, because they'll be rocking boxing.
Manager of the year.
Yeah, and then, of course, they upset Manny Pacquiao already with Udi Urgas. So, yeah. Bottom line is, they are an amazing team. We wish them the very best of luck, but they've got an uphill climb, no doubt about that. Sock, yeah. Say hello to Sebastian for me and the rest of the crew, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on. Canelo by knockout.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, live and exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More Ring Talk after the break.